You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Today is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. I want to encourage everybody here. Listen, you could search the whole world. You could search every millimeter. You could go down to every smaller units than that. You will not find the body of Jesus Christ on this planet. You will not find it because, can I tell you why? Not because you would not find his bones or you would not find his DNA. Jesus Christ is alive. There is no tomb. There is no grave. There is nowhere that we have to search, focus on, go to. What we need to know is this: Jesus is alive today. Not only is he alive, he is in our midst right now, making intercession for all of us. And I'm so grateful that Jesus is alive. I want to say this, is that if you want to understand God, and I'll tell you now, you need to understand God because God made you. And you won't know you until you understand who made you. Simple as that. You buy any appliance, the person that made it knows most about it. And so, but for you to understand God, and yesterday we was on outreach, we was talking to people about Jesus, and a lot of people were asking me questions, and we were going through a lot of different things. But if you want to understand God, you need to know the Bible. You need to know the Bible. The Bible is God's revelation of himself, letting you know who he is and what he's about. And so this is why many people in the world today are confused, because they don't know their Bibles. But if you want to understand the Bible, you need to understand this principle that I'm going to speak about today. Because without understanding this principle, you're not going to be able, you're going to find it very difficult to connect the Bible. And the principle that I want to speak about today is the word covenant. Say that word with me. Covenant. 1, 2, 3. Okay, you guys are serious. You're serious, man. The word covenant. Now, I didn't even think about this, but let me just put this out there. The word covenant doesn't mean something secret. And the reason I say I didn't think about it, yesterday I was talking to a guy and I said, God, you know, he's made a new covenant with us. And he says, covenant is something secret. Is that what you mean? I said, no. Covenant is not something secret. Covenant is more than that. And I want to speak about this quickly before we pray. And so we've got a long text that we usually don't have, but how many know we need to make time for the word of God in the house of God? And the Bible says in Hebrews 9 verse 11, but Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with this, his own blood, he entered into the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleansing your consciences from dead works to serve the living God. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant, by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your presence to come down in this place. Father, I pray that you would just speak to us today a clear message. Take control of this service in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. If you get to know me, you will understand that I'm not very emotional. Those of you that know me, they would know that. The other day I was having a conversation with a sister in our church, and I was like, well, you know, I'm not really emotional. And she went, really, Pastor? Duh. And I was like, well, why are you making that statement? That face. And I was telling my wife, and my wife was like, babe, the whole church knows you're not emotional. I was like, oh. And so, as you understand things about me, there's nothing wrong with being emotional or any of those things. I'm just saying it's just the way I am. So as you understand me, you can communicate with me. You can understand how I operate, and I understand how you operate. What we need to do is understand how God operates. And the first thing is this: for you to know God and have a relationship with God, you need to know that God is a God of covenant. That's who He is. That's how He operates with mankind. He's going to operate with every single one of us through this word called covenant. The word covenant is almost like an agreement. Let's enter into an agreement together. The word covenant would mean almost like a contract. Let me know what a contract is. You and EE have one. There's a contract. And so I pay the bill, I give you money, you give me service. Well, I don't know about EE, but really and truly, the best way to describe covenant, or should I say, one of the covenants that was around in Bible time that is still existing today, is marriage. Marriage is called a covenant. Marriage is more than a contract. See, because I can make a contract with you, but really I don't even have to know you. I'm in a contract with EE, but I don't know nobody there. It's a different thing. Marriage is more than a piece of paper, more than a contract, more than just an agreement. It's a covenant. And all throughout the Bible, we see that God would be into covenant with mankind. And so there are some principles that you need for a covenant. Let me give you some of the principles here. In a covenant, there needs to be commitment. If there's no commitment, there's no covenant. And so when you'd enter into covenant, what would happen is in Bible times, one leader would go into covenant with another king or another tribe's leader. And so they'd enter into covenant and they would say, listen, if we go into war, you follow us and help us. If you go into war, we come and follow you. And they would make a sacrifice and they would kill an animal and they would shed blood and they would do these things. And what they would be saying is, if you don't honor the covenant, there's a penalty on you. There's a curse on you if you don't honor the covenant with me. And so be it with you. And they would enter into covenant. And what it means is there needs to be commitment for there to be covenant. Not only does there need to be commitment, but there needs to be responsibility. That I'm responsible for my side of the covenant. You're responsible for your side of the covenant. And there needs to be faithfulness. Now let me say this at this point, is that God is a God of covenant. And God always wants to enter into covenant with man. From the very beginning, He enters into covenant with Adam and Eve. From the very beginning. And so all of those things are alive. So God is a God who is committed. He's committed to you. He's committed to your well-being. He's committed to work with you. He's committed that when you pray to Him, He's there to answer you. He's with you. He's going to work things out for your good. God is a God who's committed. Not only is He committed, God is a God who is responsible. He takes responsibility for you. He takes serious His responsibilities for you and I. And God is a God who is faithful. God is always faithful, church, because God is a God of covenant. And we see the covenants throughout the Bible. We see a covenant with Adam and Eve. In the very beginning, God makes a covenant with them. And so God says, listen, I'm going to provide for you. So God makes Adam, puts him in a garden. There's food there, everything he would need. There's animals, sky, water, land. He even gives him a woman. Amen. It's good times, man. Food, woman. Good times. But God told Adam, He said, listen, but the covenant is this, Adam. Live, have fun, do your work, live. Just enjoy me. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to hook you up. This is the blessing of the covenant. But don't eat of the fruit of the tree. If you eat of the fruit of the tree, you're breaking the covenant, Adam. What does Adam do? He eats the fruit of the tree. He breaks the covenant and now he enters into curse. See, not only did God create a covenant with Adam, but He had a covenant with Noah. The Bible says that the sin of the world gets so bad that God says, listen, that's it. I'm going to judge the world. He judged the world. There was a flood, a global flood. And at the end of that, when Noah comes out with his family, God says, listen, I'm going to enter a covenant. I will never do this again. And the Bible says He signifies it with a rainbow. And even till today, when it would rain, there are still rainbows. That is God's covenant. God has made a covenant that he would never do this again. And so listen, you could talk to me all day about global warming and the world is going to end of tomorrow and all of that. No, the world will, there will never be another global flood, because God said as long as there is time and seasons, there will never be a global flood. God not only made a covenant with Noah, he made a covenant with Abraham. God said to Abraham, he was an old guy in his 90s, he's got no children. God says, listen, your children are going to be a nation. He made a covenant. He says, your children are going to be a nation. Those of you that know your Bible, Abraham has Isaac, Isaac has Jacob. Jacob's name is changed to Israel. Today there is a nation called Israel. That is because God made a covenant with one man. And God is faithful and committed and responsible for his covenants, that even today, every nation around Israel is its enemy. It can try to wipe it off the face of the earth, but it will never be wiped off the face of the earth, because it's not their ingenuity or their beauty or their eloquence that's keeping them there. It's God's covenant. Because God is a God of covenant. Not only that, God makes a covenant with Moses. And so Moses, God says to Moses, tell the people to make a covenant with me and I will cause them to be my priests upon the earth. And what God really said about, people always say, well, why did God choose the children of Israel? Why did God choose the children of Israel? Why are they the chosen people? Why can't we be the chosen people? Why is my nation not the chosen people? God didn't pick them because they were better than any other nation. God's not saying that the Israelite is better than the Jamaican. I'm half Jamaican, so don't come to me after, what do you say about Jamaican? You don't look Jamaican. I know, but I am. Someone said, a lady came to church the other day and said, are you Spanish? Is your name Pablo? Courtney Pablo. Courtney. I don't know, maybe. I kind of liked it a little bit, though. Hey, Pablo. And if you are Pablo here, we love you, we welcome you. But God never picked the children of Israel because they were better. God just picked them and said, okay, I'm going to pick you because of Abraham. And because of what I promised him, now you're a nation. God says, listen, I want you to represent me to all the world. That was what God picked them for. God never picked them because they were better than us. God picked the Jews because he said, I want you to represent me to all the earth. So when every nation should look at Israel, they should say, there is a God who revealed himself to that nation so that we could know him. But the problem is this, is that the children of Israel kept rebelling against God. So when you would look at them, you wouldn't know there was a God. And so God says, if they break that covenant, they're going to be cursed. And they kept breaking the covenant and they were cursed. And for many, many hundreds of years, they were out of their land. And Israel really only became a nation in 1948. Very recent. The last covenant I want to speak about is God made a covenant with David. And God said to King David, he said, you will always have one of your family members on the throne. You, your family, your lineage will be royal. And those of you who know your Bible, if you will read the book of Matthew, you will see that Jesus came through the line of David. Jesus is a king eternal. He is always king. And so God is committed to that covenant. Now I've said all of that to really reveal to us today is that God is a God of covenant. He is faithful to his side of the covenant and everything that he does. And so, if God is a God of covenant and he's made this covenant, the question is this. Why do we need a new covenant? Because this series is called New Covenant. And in the scripture that we read, we said Jesus has brought a new covenant. Why do we need a new one? If we've already got one, why do we need a new one? What was wrong with the old? How many know when you got a car and it starts to go wrong, you start to think about, I need to get a new one. Or you've got something, the jacket is starting to wear out. You're like, I need a new one. Or those trainers, your trainers. I remember as a kid, you have those trainers and then they start talking. It's like, Mom, I need new ones. Is it that this covenant is wearing out? Is the old covenant wearing out? Why did we need a new covenant? What was wrong with the old covenant? There was actually nothing wrong with the old covenant. What was wrong with the old covenant wasn't God, it was us. The Bible says in Hebrews 8, for if the first covenant had been faultless, there's no place would have sought for a second covenant. But the fault was with them. The problem is this, is that God made a covenant with man, between God and man, and we keep breaking it. Romans 3 verse 10 says this, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. And so, I need some volunteers. I'm going to pick my favorites. Kenny and Kyle. It just sounds right, doesn't it? We should employ them. I need Kyle, you can stay here. Kenny, you come up on the stage. Let's give him a round of applause as he comes up. It's only right that they come together because, they got engaged at the same day, married the same year. They both had children within months of each other. Amen. Both had girls, beautiful girls. Amen. You know that nervous smile, like, why did you bring me up here? Don't worry, you're going to be God with me. And you're going to be man. And so this is how it is. God says, okay, I want to make a covenant with man. I want to bless you. I want to take care of you. Everything you do, I want to be involved in. I want to make a covenant with you. And so God wants to make a covenant. So come over here quickly. See if you can do this. Try and shake his hand. See, can you shake his hand? Bend down his knee. Shake his hand. Okay, so deal. So now they're in covenant. So this is a perfect union. If man does what God says, God is going to bless man. Man does what God says, God's going to bless man. The problem is, man does his own thing. Man keeps doing his own thing. Man keeps breaking the covenant. Man keeps sinning. Keeps going his own way. He wants to do his own thing. God says, don't lie. Man keeps lying. Lying like a liar, man. Listen, like a liar. Lying. People like, it's only a white lie. Listen, there's no white lie. There's no black lie. That's a racist anyway. Why is it lies? Like white lies better than a black lie. Listen, there's no white lie, no black lie, no pink lie. There's just lying. In God's eyes. God says don't steal. Man is stealing. Every single one of you have stolen something. Come on. Now you're lying. You just did the first one. We've all, come on, I've stolen. Listen, before I was a Christian, I would steal anything. I was telling my wife the other day, every place I work, I pocketed something. I'd mop everything. Everything. I was stealing all the time. That's how we are. We steal. Whether you've stolen a penny, you still stole. We keep breaking that. God says purity. God says purity, man. And man keeps breaking it. God says have sex, but in marriage. God is into sex. God made it. God made you to enjoy it. It always goes quiet when you say that in church, man. People act like they start looking around like, I've never even heard that word. I would never even say that word. God made it. God designed it. God wants you to have it. Have as much as you want in marriage. But man's like, nah, I ain't really feeling that marriage thing. No. What kind of this? So man is breaking. So what happens is, when the covenant is broken, man is cursed. God is up here. God don't need man. God is not cursed. God is not any less God. God is all by himself, self-existent. He exists out of himself. It's man who's suffering. Now man is corrupt and he's becoming more wicked. And now we've got wars. And now we've got murderers and pedophiles. And now we've got broken hearts and broken families. And life is a mess. And man is suffering. And God could be like, lose after you. God could be like, listen, I don't care for you. Do your own thing. I tried to make a covenant with you. I tried to work with you. What's happened here is become a one-sided marriage. You ever seen one of those? Woo! That's sad. A one-sided marriage. This is a marriage where the woman is trying to do everything and the guy has no commitment. And the guy doesn't take his responsibilities. And the guy is unfaithful. It's a one-sided marriage. Yeah, it's a marriage, but it's one-sided. It's an abomination. It's a sorry thing. Whenever you look at someone, and it's a one-sided marriage. And a one-sided marriage is the person that loves most suffers the most. A one-sided marriage where a guy is trying to serve God and be a man of God, and a woman is rebellious, dissing him in public. You idiot. I give you idiot. Is this one-sided marriage? How many know for us? Thank God I'm not in a one-sided marriage. Oh my dear, thank God. But can I tell you, if I was in a one, let's be natural now. I know we're, let's just take our halos off for a second. Fold them up, put them in, and you can take them out when you get out. Let's be real. If I was in a one-sided marriage, something in me wants to get out. If I'm in a one-sided marriage, I'm doing all the loving, I'm doing all the sacrificing, I'm doing all the niceness, and you're dissing me, you're treating me like an idiot. No. In public, something in me would be like, I want out. I want out of this. And God said, listen, if you press that button, you could be out. Nobody would know. Nothing. Is this one? I mean, no, that's how we would be. But this is the thing about God. God sees mankind in a dilemma, and God doesn't get out. God has to come up with a plan. So I keep making a covenant with you, but you keep failing, and mankind, and it's affecting your children and your children's children and all of mankind keep failing. So God's in it. And so God is Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three are one. And so God within the Trinity comes up with a plan. And God says this, okay, man needs a perfect man to fulfill the covenant. And so God says, so I'm going to be God the Father right now. You're God the Son. And he says, you know what? I want you to go down there. Go down there. And so God sends his son to become a man. And now Mary is pregnant. He's coming through. He's born. He's 12. He's 20. I don't think Jesus walked like that. Not even on the water. And so here it is now. This is God the Son. And people say, why did God become a man? Why is God a man? I don't understand that. Why? Because you don't understand God is a God of covenant. And yeah, God has tried to make covenant all throughout history. He tried it with Adam, he failed. He tried it with Abraham. He tried it with the kings and the priests. And every man has failed. And God says, this is what I'm going to have to do. Son, go down there and become a man. And Jesus lives a perfect life. And so God the Father enters into covenant with man. And he fulfills everything that we need for the covenant. You guys can sit down. See, Jesus fulfilled the covenant for all of us. Jesus fulfilled the covenant for all of us. Not only did he fulfill the covenant for all of us, but remember, because man broke the covenant, there's a curse. So what Jesus did, Jesus died, and his death pays for my and your curse. This is what it is. Because God is a God of covenant. The Bible says that, let me read some scriptures here. Romans 5 verse 19. But as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. It's Adam. So he broke the curse. He messed it up for all of us. Broke the covenant, sorry. The Bible says, so also by one man's obedience. Who was that? That's the Son. Many are made righteous. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came resurrection from death. This is the point to focus in on. For as in Adam all died, all of us are under a curse. Even so, in Christ, all are made alive. So the first covenant God made with man, okay, be faithful, I'm going to bless you. But if you break it, you're going to die. We've all sinned. We've broken the first covenant. Now, we're all destined for hell. We're destined for weakness. We're destined for no hope. What are we going to do? No man is perfect. God sends his son to become a man so that he could fulfill man's requirements. See, Jesus brings the new covenant. The Bible says in Hebrews 9 verse 15, and for this reason, he is a mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. It's the text. Jesus brings the new covenant. Jesus fulfills the old covenant. He paid the penalty for the old covenant. Let me close. As we are here today, and every human being, whether you're in Africa, whether you're in Spain, Brazil, whether you're in China, whether you're in India, in the whole of the world, there is only two covenants that God will deal with you with. Remember, we said God is a God of covenant. He only deals with man through covenant. And right now, as you're sitting here and I'm standing here talking to you, there are only two covenants for you to deal with God. He's not going to deal with anybody any other way. There's only two covenants. The first covenant is the covenant that God made with Adam. It's the first covenant we see all throughout the Old Testament. The word covenant is the same word as testament. They mean the same thing. This is why we have the Old Testament and the New Testament. Because the word testament means covenant. So you could say it's the old covenant and the new covenant. And so the old covenant says this: if you live your life perfect without any sin, you and God can have a relationship. But if you break it just once, you will die and be separated from him for all eternity. That's the first covenant. How many know if that's the only covenant we had, we're hopeless? Now, let me speak to you there. If you're here today and you say, well, I go to church and I'm religious. I go to church and I have a Bible and I've read the 23rd Psalm. And my mum's a Christian. Okay, so what are you telling us? Is it your righteousness? You're still under the same covenant. You're trying to earn it. You're talking about everything you did. The first covenant is about what you do. But there's a second covenant. And the second covenant is this: is that now you accept Jesus's perfection. And you say, there's a second covenant. And Jesus says, yeah, come in here. To the second, step into the second covenant, and now when God looks at you, he sees Jesus's perfection. So there's the old covenant where it's you. Yeah, I'm okay, I'm not as bad as them, but have you committed one sin? Oh yeah, then there's no hope for you. Really, it's a no-brainer. Which covenant would you want to be under? I want to be under the new covenant. Where when God looks at me, he doesn't see Courtney's sin. He doesn't see that I've lied and stolen. He doesn't see these things. What he sees is Jesus. But the choice is yours. The choice is yours. Are you going to live under the old covenant? Are you trying to work out your own righteousness? Are you doing a few bad things and a few good things, and you think those good things are going to overshadow those bad things? No. Even a mass murderer, a pedophile, can help someone across the road. Does that mean we should let them off? No, they've committed a crime. Listen, you have lied, you have done these things, and God says that sin, I cannot dwell with unholiness. I need perfection to have relationship with man. God, I'm hopeless. I have no perfection. Then God points you, come to the new covenant. Step into the new covenant. Which covenant are you under today? See, it's not just new, it's new and improved. Remember, in our text, he said he cleanses our conscience from dead works. In the new covenant, God not only has washed away your sin, So now when he looks at you, he sees what Jesus did. Remember, Jesus walked upon the earth perfect, fulfilled it, got to the end, bing, done it, finished it. Died, so he's paid for your sin, he's lived perfect, so you put on Christ. The Bible tells us, put on the new covenant, put on Christ. So when God looks at you, he sees that. Now that alone is amazing. So does that mean I could just be sinning in the new covenant? No. Because that's how some people are. They'll tell you they're in the new covenant. When I was a kid, this thing came out. I always have to say that now because people, you know, video recorders. How many remember video recorders? And video players. How many remember video players? And so you have a video player. And a video player used to have to play this big cassette. You'd push it in there. The early ones, you'd put it in the top. And then they designed these ones, you'd put it in the front. And so whenever you go in someone's house, they would have this video player. And it would have this square. And you knew that's where the videos went. You can't put biscuits in there. You can't put apples and oranges in there. You can only put videos in there. Are biscuits bad? No. Are oranges and apples bad? No. They just can't go in there. When God made man, he made him with a gap. There's a gap in your life. That gap in your life was made for God. God has made to go in there. You can put music in there, but it doesn't play, doesn't do anything. You can put sex in there. You could put money in there, career, boyfriend, girlfriend, car. You fill in the blanks. You could put all of these things, and these things are not evil in themselves. They just won't do anything in there. God has made you with that. And so people that are living on this side, they're trying to find fulfillment. From the age I was a kid, I remember my uncle took me out and he bought me these Reeboks trainers. And Reeboks had recently come out. That's how old I remember when they came out. And so they had these Reeboks, they had this little Union Jack flag. And I remember they were all white and had this blue and white thing on them. And so I was walking in them and I just like, this walk like, because they were white and I didn't want no one to come near them. If people even came a foot near me, I'd walk around like that. And so when I came home, I remember I put them in my room and I put them together at an angle that when I was lying down in bed, I could see them. Some of you have done that. You know what I'm talking about, man. Come on, I was a kid. It's not like last year. And so I'm looking at them all night. And then I'd sleep and I'd wake up. But can I tell you, after a few weeks, I was just wearing them, kicking balls, climbing walls. Lost this. And I couldn't understand, like, how come I was so into it and I loved it so much. And as a kid, I would get more trainers, or I'd listen to a song, or I'd buy a jacket. And in the beginning, it would be like, yes, yes, oh, I love this. Look at me, I feel so good. Yeah, and then it wears off. And I thought, when I get older and I get adult things, they're going to make me really happy. And as I got older, then you can have relationships, and you can have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or you can get a job, or you could buy a car, or buy a house, or buy this, or go on a holiday, and you could do all of these things. But I've learned at 42, it doesn't matter what I find, it keeps wearing off. It's not a young person thing, it's a human thing. Because those things were not meant to go in that gap. And at the age of 22, someone invited me to a church, and in my whole life living under the old covenant, thinking I'm not as bad as them, I try a few bad things, try a few good things. At the age of 22, I came into church and I heard the gospel, and I heard about the new covenant that that a sinner like me could be seen perfect in the eyes of God. And God not only died for me and cleansed me and brought me into the new covenant, what he did is he actually came inside of me. And I had felt a fulfillment that I had never felt. I came into church on a Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, came in, hours before, smoking weed, chasing women, getting high, wanting these things. I came into church and I opened myself to Jesus and he came inside of me. And when I left, it's like, something's inside of me. I've been in churches before, but this is different. I've watched songs of praise, but this is different. This is different. Something is different here. Because the Bible says under the new covenant, God is not only going to cleanse you from the outside, he says, I'm going to come on the inside now. We've tried the outside thing. We've tried, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. God says, no, forget all of that. I'm not doing that anymore. What I'm going to do is I'm going to fulfill the covenant for you, and then I'm going to come and dwell inside of you. Helping you, strengthening you. That when you want to lie, something in you says, no, that's wrong. I didn't feel that before. When you want to look at something, oh, let me look. No, that's wrong. Now I want to do the things God wants me to do. See, if we're constantly telling you, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, that's not Christianity. Christianity is when God comes inside of you and he lives inside of you, and that joy and that peace and that love that you were searching for in the world, you have found it in the new covenant. And this is why the Bible says, this is better, this is new. Leave the old, let the old die away, come to the new. Jeremiah. This is in the Old Testament. Look, even in the Old Testament, God kept talking about the new covenant. Jeremiah 32, verse 38. They shall be my people and I will be their God. Then I will give them one heart, one way. And they will fear me forever for the good of them and for the children after them. And I will make with them an everlasting covenant with them. And I will not turn away from doing them good. I will put my fear in their hearts. He's talking about reverence. I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. Listen to what God says. This is another Old Testament scripture. God was always promising, this is not the way I want it to be. Ezekiel 36, 26. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will make the heart, I will take the heart of stone out of, I will take the heart of stone into a heart of flesh. I will give a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. God says, listen, I'm going to come inside of you and I'm going to help you to live this way you're supposed to live. Religion is all about doing. Religion is about, come and see what I'm doing. I'm going to church. I've dressed like church. I'm praying like church. Reading like church. Look what I'm doing. That's religion. The new covenant, what Jesus brings, is say, come and see what Jesus has done. Come and see what Jesus has done. He died on the cross and he rose, and now I'm free. Not only that, you see me doing good things now? That's because he's in me. That's because he's in me. Let us forsake the old covenant. Let us say, you know what? We want to focus on the new covenant. We need the new covenant today. In the new covenant, Jesus makes all things new. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.